This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a podcast from Joy's jazz show, Bent Notes. Tune in live each Sunday night at joy.org.au.
My special guest on tonight's edition of Bent Notes is a Melbourne-based drummer, educator, composer and songwriter who fell into jazz by accident. Sonia Horbelt learnt drums at school from the flute teacher, played in the school big band, but didn't imagine music as a career. A couple of years later, while studying a degree in German literature, she got roped into a jazz class by a friend. The rest, as they say, is history. It's my great pleasure to bid a very warm Bent Notes welcome to the chair of the Melbourne Women's International Jazz Festival, Sonia Horbelt. Welcome, Sonia.
Oh, thank you so much, David. It's just so lovely to be on the show. Thank you for having me on, and exciting times for us again in Melbourne. I think everything's opening up and there's gigs to talk about. Gee, wow, haven't we missed that?
Oh, we have missed that indeed, and it is great news, but I want to take you back a little bit.
Yep, uh-oh.
Drums from a flute teacher. How did that work?
We had two teachers at school, a string teacher and an everything else teacher, and so he was basically a flautist, but he taught the range of woodwind instruments. He could bluff the brass instruments, and he'd played a bit of drums in the army. So I sort of, my parents signed me up for lessons. I could actually play piano by that stage. I'd been learning in primary school piano, and they thought a second instrument would be good for me. By the time they got there was just drums and saxophone left. For some reason, my mum picked the drums. I'm not sure why, percussion. I've got a feeling there was a hard sell from the instrumental teacher involved in that. You know, I can imagine the word piano and reading music went ding, 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 ding.
Did you have a great enjoyment of music when you were in the school band, or was it just a pleasant pastime?
It was interesting. At school, I played a lot of sport. I was a sports captain. But I loved the music. And this big band that we had was a combination of three schools. So there were other schools, other players involved. And I was always really heavily invested in it. But, you know, it was like I was really, really good at sport too. Back in those days, sport wasn't a thing for women either. You know, there was no BBL, Women's Big Bash. There was no, you know, playing soccer for Arsenal. There was none of that either. So both things were very, very serious hobbies for me in that respect. I loved them both. I guess as with most secondary school students, when I left school, there was very little opportunity for me to continue playing. But sport, I could kind of get into a club or a team or something and continue to play. So I did continue to play quite a bit of sport after school. But then a friend of mine from the big band, he started a little jazz quintet, and every week or two we would meet and learn Charlie Parker tunes.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. And then I fell into this class at uni by accident that I just went to. I was never enrolled at the con, but happened to be Bob Settergreen's jazz class, and that's how we met. And that was, you know, really, truly a sliding doors moment in my life.
Was that the moment when you realised that music was going to be your life?
It sort of wasn't really. I was still chugging along on the course of becoming an academic. And then when I was I just started fourth year, my honours year, and a place kind of opened up by chance at BCA. They had gotten extra funding that the repertoire course didn't want. Jazz kind of grabbed it with both hands, and they were short drummers that year. I had a friend who had started first year and had said they didn't want to re-advertise the positions. He said to Brian Brown, the head of the course, I've got a friend who might be interested. And so I got a phone call saying, come on down and let's have a chat. To cut a long story short, I did a little audition with a bass playing friend of mine who was from the big band that I had been playing in. Brian said, why do you want to try the course? And I said, I really just want to play music. He sort of walked away, came back with a bit of paper and said, sign here. And
oh, really?
That was it. So I did fourth year and two parts of a master's years whilst studying music at VCA.
Oh, what a workload. Very crazy.
Yeah. And they weren't connected at the time. So Brian certainly knew I was at Melbourne, but Melbourne Uni had no idea that I was at VCA at the same time. So
That's being a glutton for punishment, I think.
But I just was drawn to it always. And I think, you know, back then, the VCA was a different place too, and so it was possible for me to do that, and yeah, incredible. I just feel really lucky.
And I suppose if it was the music that really grabbed your attention, it wouldn't feel as if you were working.
Not really. I have to say, because I'd learned from this flute teacher and I just kind of cruised a bit through school, I never had lessons from a drum teacher until I got to uni, and then I sort of, because I had some class clashes too, I wasn't there all the time. And it wasn't really until third year that I kind of went, wow, I really need to pull my finger out and do some practice. And that last year at college and the first few years out of college, I put my head down and really started to do a bit of work. But it was kind of, I was always kind of floating. And in retrospect, I don't think that's a bad thing necessarily. I wonder whether, if I'd been under scrutiny, if I would have continued, because it was never going to be a career. I just happened to be in a situation where I could fall into the course and do it.
My special guest on Bent Notes is Sonia Horbelt, Chair of the Melbourne Women's International Jazz Festival. You're listening to Bent Notes on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to a podcast from Bent Notes. Find more podcasts and show blogs at joy.org.au.
You're listening to Bent Notes on Joy 94.9, where my special guest is the chair of the Melbourne Women's International Jazz Festival, Sonia Horbelt. Sonia, did you have any misgivings as you came out of the course about being a female drummer in what was and what is still a very male-oriented profession?
I think I was incredibly unaware of the environment around me. At college, I played in a working soul band with a bunch of my friends. I didn't really do other gigs with other people, but I played with Bob Settergreen in his group Art Attack. He asked me to join them. And then I started to pick up little sort of gigs. I mostly played with my friends, really. And I think that is the nature of jazz, that we tend to book people that we connect with. But I think in retrospect, I see how rare that was. I mean, I was one of maybe four females in my year, and only two of us graduated at the right time and completed the course. A couple of others, I think, went, but you know, a couple of dropped out. I thought it might have even been six. A couple dropped out, a couple finished later. But it was really, yeah, quite extraordinary. I think I was a bit older too, and I felt the difference between myself and younger players who had far more technique than I did. And I think my answer to that was to just envelop myself in groups where I felt safe, with people that I felt safe with, and then gradually, bit by bit, started to feel the pinch of, I need to do some work here if I'm going to, you know, continue working, kind of deal. So
was that the point where you realised that you had the skill and also the confidence to play the drums out there in the real world as an ongoing career? But was it also a point where you were able to realise the ability you had to push the boundaries of inclusiveness?
I think the inclusiveness really struck me when I joined Morgana, which was a band that Fiona Burnett put together. Very visionary, you know, in hindsight. I mean, it was a big deal then, but even now when I look back, really quite visionary for the time. And we did our first gig sort of, I think it was late 1992. An all-female band was just extraordinary. You know, it was Lisa Young, Sue Johnson, Annette Jenko on bass, and myself, and it was Fiona was the leader, it was her group. We encountered quite a bit of, I remember we did a tour throughout Australia, and the sexism that we encountered was quite extraordinary. Like, you just, I look back on it. I mean, I still get that stuff. Just the other week, some students of mine completed some exams over Zoom, and when the examiner rang me to test it, I could be just reading something into it, but he kind of said that the way he asked me if I was the drum teacher, it was as if I couldn't possibly be the drum teacher, you know?
Right, okay. Well, that's a bit disappointing.
I think it's just people still don't perceive women to have a career in that role. I remember doing, I think I've told this story before, I remember doing a corporate gig where I was actually literally in a suit carrying the drums across the lawn at a corporate event, and the event manager, who was a woman, must have been in her mid to late 20s, looked at me and said, "Are you the singer?"
Oh, no.
But it's classic. I get that. I still get that all the time. And I think even more so now as an older, dare I say that, you know, as a more established player in our community, the age thing is particularly like a, you know, could you really be, you know, mid-career and not be a drummer by trade, you know? So I think when you're young and hip, it's a bit more possible now, and I think that's largely due to pop. Pop is very visibly a changing landscape very quickly. There's a far greater female instrumental playing presence in pop. It's like exploded in the last couple of years. But, you know, certainly jazz is very much not that same territory. Still.
But I suppose the fact that pop has grown in that regard is that's the music that younger people are going to be seeing all the time, and that's
yes.
going to set the scene, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, fantastic. You know, let's hope that across the board, I think jazz is still one of the music disciplines that is behind in terms of equality. And we were in terms of the festival, I was just having that conversation with Sandy Evans from Sydney this week. We're hoping to do a symposium perhaps next year in next year's festival on the topic of how do you actually find a balance of players within our community. You know, like I said, I play with people that I know and that I trust and with whom I have a musical relationship with. And if you go through a course where they're mostly male, then that's who you're going to book. And so how does it look? How can you change the dynamic of the balance of the genders to be far more even when, you know, even women book men because that's who they work with? And, you know, one of the things that we're very big on in the festival is to book a female band leader and for her to choose who she plays with. You know, that's really important because creating music is a deeply personal thing. And especially when you're playing your own music, as we encourage, then you want it to be with people you trust and with whom you have a relationship. You know, that's absolutely critical. Then again, here there's the question of how do you get more women into the industry so that they're people that people choose to trust their music with, and they're, and you know, it's a vicious circle.
It
and
is indeed.
I don't know what the answer to that is either. Without just physically making up the numbers without a musical basis.
But as you say, it's important to have that connection between the musicians and the band.
Absolutely.
My special guest on Bent Notes is Sonia Horbelt, Chair of the Melbourne Women's International Jazz Festival. You're listening to Bent Notes on Joy 94.9.
You are listening to a podcast from Bent Notes. Find more podcasts and show blogs at joy.org.au.
You're listening to Bent Notes on Joy 94.9, where my special guest is the chair of the Melbourne Women's International Jazz Festival, Sonia Horbelt. And I suppose your role as chair of the Melbourne Women's International Jazz Festival is really a significant role because it has the opportunity to enhance the perception of female jazz musicians in the industry. And even if they're using male musicians in their bands, it's starting the process of getting visibility out there.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. I mean, I like to think that our festival contributes to music making by everybody in our community. But yes, the visibility is important. And also that one of the key things about our festival, even though we're a small festival, is that it's the way that we curate the festival means that it has an established reputation. And yep. that makes it a platform for emerging female artists or established female artists with new projects or whatever to launch to the next level and to gain greater visibility across the industry, across our sector. You know, it's a foot in to get to Melbourne International Jazz Festival or to get to Wangaratta or to get to Sydney Festival or Brisbane Festival, or, you know, it's a key stepping stone in saying, well, we've played in this festival. How about, you know, can you give us a gig in your festival kind of thing? Or it's a stepping stone to the next phase of recording a CD project and putting that on the CV to justify funding for the next development phase of a project or whatever. So we feel that we're critical in that aspect in providing that next step for female artists to gain more visibility in the industry, to gain that next step and take with them male musicians on the way, you know, for all of us.
And that next step, even though this year has been such a strange year, you've been able to get that next step going this year.
Well, it's, you know, I mean, oh gosh, like we've been sort of hanging on a thread, waiting on announcements, not knowing whether there is a possibility, whether Jazz Lab would be open, whether audiences could be live, all of those things. And, you know, the thing with COVID too has been that everybody has been applying for funding. So, yes, there has been more funding, but, you know, multiply that by 10 in terms of applicants and we've received nothing this year. It's really been by the skin of our teeth that the festival is up and running because we couldn't really invest in live streaming. It's, you know, feel blessed that Jazz Lab is open, that Jeremy and Michael have jumped on board so quickly and that the artists have really come to the party and we've been able to get a four-day mini fest of, you know, essentially seven or eight acts together so quickly.
And those acts are amazing acts. A number
yes.
of them are names we know very, very well.
Yeah.
Let's start December the 11th. Friday, December the 11th is the first night of the mini festival.
Yeah, and we're opening with Amelia Evans, who was a finalist in the Wangaratta Jazz competition this year in
she
this
did
year's
a marvelous
festival.
Job.
Yep. And she also, Amelia, is amazing in the amount of Australian repertoire amidst that female Australian composers that she includes in. I actually think Amelia was supposed to be headed to New York to do a master's, but is here in Melbourne. So, and New York's a bit of a theme for the festival this year. So
I noticed that.
yeah. Well, we're lucky because of COVID, we have some artists currently in the country who are not normally here for the festival. We're doing two separate shows on the Friday, an early show and a late show, and on Saturday as well. Friday, second show, the late show at 9:30 is Holly Moore, who was this year's winner of the Take Note Award for the Melbourne International Jazz Festival. Melbourne Jazz was online, and so this is her quartet. She spent quite a bit of time in New York recently also, and is putting on her quartet in the late show on the Friday night. So that's exciting, you know, there's some emerging artists that are really breaking some ground.
Getting seen out there in the festival and, as you say, being then able to use those festivals on their CVs to move
yeah.
even further. And then
absolutely.
On the Saturday night, you've got two amazing artists.
Oh, yeah. Saturday is the double New York America double bill, in that there's still two separate shows, but we're incredibly excited to be presenting Kate K.S. and Skycher, which is Chantal Metbalski's project. The first one is Kate Kelsey Suggs' project. She is quarantining currently in
oh,
Sydney.
Is she really?
She's just landed.
Oh,
yep.
Right.
She's established a really significant career in New York.
She spent some time over there, hasn't she?
Yeah. She's been performing with her own music. And Kate has performed with people like Cyndi Lauper, Robert Glasper, Kesha, Macklemore, the Resistance Revival Chorus, which also has an Australian member in it, and Alicia Desenaker.
Oh, right, yes, of course.
Carly Simon, Annie DeFranco. Plus, she's establishing this huge repertoire of her own compositions that really fantastic singer-songwriter, plays piano, plays some plays amazing saxophone, actually, which not a lot of people are aware of. And she'll be performing her original music with Brett Williams on piano and Andy Sugg on saxophone. So that's pretty exciting.
That's very exciting.
She's not in Australia very often. So it's you know, she's been in New York pretty much for at least 6 years now, and it's rare that she's in Melbourne. So I really encourage people to check her out on Spotify, iTunes, that kind of thing. The timing is extraordinary because, like I said, she's literally quarantining in Sydney right now. So we're really excited that she's playing the early show at 7 o'clock.
Yep.
And then Chantal is, it's kind of like the double New York whammy. She's been in New York since 2017. Been touring a lot, working as a working artist based in Brooklyn, but working in the States full stop. She's also recently been performing as a lead vocalist, a New York-based funk group called Snack Chat, who had just lined up all this touring in the States, and they'd recently released an EP, and, you know, before COVID, they'd lined up a tour in the States, and then COVID hit and she returned home. So she's been in, but obviously not performing in Melbourne. So really excited. She had produced a solo album just before she left that Aaron Shulai produced. She's performing the later set with Darren Archer, Mick Maher and Hugh Harvey. Killer lineup. So, you know, if you can catch even one of those gigs on the Saturday, you're really, it's
doing well.
Exciting. It's really exciting. I can't believe we've got this program at this time in within this year. It's like, really encourage people to come out and see it and support artists.
And the artists must be thrilled to think that they've actually got some gigs to play and that it is the International Women's Festival.
Yeah, Kate was saying she's literally not really performed all year. And, you know, that's from somebody who lives in New York, who gigs regularly. You know, nothing is happening in New York at the moment. There are no gigs, live gigs at all. Mm. And so, you know, here in Melbourne, we're incredibly, incredibly lucky.
Very much so.
Yeah.
My special guest on Bent Notes is Sonia Horbelt, Chair of the Melbourne Women's International Jazz Festival. You're listening to Bent Notes on Joy 94.9.
You are listening to a podcast from Bent Notes. Find more podcasts and show blogs at joy.org.au.
You're listening to Bent Notes on Joy 94.9, where my special guest is the chair of the Melbourne Women's International Jazz Festival, Sonia Horbelt. And then on Sunday, you've got a thing called Poet Street.
Exciting that they are all pretty much first-year music students from various institutions. They started online, and so Sunday is their first actual live performance. It's an all-female group. We're co-presenting them with Adam Simmons's organisation, The Usefulness of Art. So very grateful to them for the support. They're a whole bunch of, they've got vocals and a whole bunch of horns plus a rhythm section. They inevitably have, most of them have played in our festival in some capacity on the student nights. So there's kind of a nice symmetry about that. On that note, I have to say that in the mid-2000s, we had for a couple of years, we ran an all-star secondary school big band that performed at BMW Edge, Bennett's Lane, at all those places. And the lead tenor was Kate Kelsey Sugg.
Really?
Yeah, Sarah McKenzie was on piano. There was some Joe Syme from Big Scary was on drums. So, you know, there's a nice symmetry to that. But, yes, yeah, so Poet Street will play, and I believe they're close to selling out, I've got to say. They are playing an extra early show at 4:30 on the Sunday. And then Sunday night we have a really special presentation with our longtime, you know, creators and supporters, Martin Jackson and the Melbourne Jazz Co-op. That's Kat Wiktorski's octet. So they're a trio with saxophone and string quartet. And the opening set of that is a new duo, which I'm really excited about. It's Mina Yu on piano and Fem Belling on vocals and violin.
Oh, beautiful.
So, I mean, what a double. That is a double bill. Two acts for the price of one. And that's a regular 7:30 show on the Sunday night. And then Monday night is Andrea Keller, stalwart of the festival, who, you know, continues to lead music making in our country, instigating so many different projects and encouraging so many musicians across our industry, male and female. Just in, and Monday night was always, at when we were at Bennett's Lane, was always Alan Brown's night. And he would always do that gig in the little room with Andrea and Tamara Murphy. And Andrea has, following his passing, she created particularly Transients, which was a series of trios that was inspired by Alan's, you know, musical philosophies and his spirit. And they've had held residencies at Bennett's Lane and Uptown and now, you know, at Jazz Lab. Monday night is really Andrea's night, at her programming night at Jazz Lab. And so this is featuring the very first Transient trio with Sam Anning and Julian Wilson.
That will be amazing to hear.
Yeah.
And Andrea's had such a, in a sense, a bad year with the COVID restrictions, but a good year in terms of having time to review so many recordings and release so many albums this year.
Oh, my gosh. And she's just, and she's also appearing on the latest Art Orchestra album. She's released the Transient stuff, Five Below albums. I mean, you just, I could, you know, just go onto her Bandcamp page and there's just, the discography is extraordinary.
It is absolutely huge, and it's all over the last couple of years as she's been doing so much with so many musicians. It's absolutely fantastic.
Yep, yep.
All the details for the Melbourne Women's International Jazz Festival are available on the website, mwijf.org. The Jazz Lab is the centre of operations for the festival.
Yes.
All the details and the links for bookings are on their website, which is jazzlab.club. But, of course, with the COVID-related limitations on attendees, it's essential to get in quick.
Yes, it caps at 50. I really encourage everybody. It's been really exciting to see gigs at Jazz Lab right now, but now more than ever, it's really important. And just food for the soul, you know, it's just really extraordinary for musicians to play together and to have an audience, a live audience, listen to them. And I think that's really crucial in coming out of COVID to revive and resuscitate our industry that's been so devastated, much more than a lot of other industries in Australia. You know, I'm a firm believer in that. So many people in COVID have turned to music as their courage and their inspiration, and yet in so many facets our industry has been let down and is struggled, and has, the impact has been so huge. So I really encourage everybody to just come out, buy local music, go and hear local musicians, and let's, you know, help us to get back to where we were before 2020.
Excellent advice indeed, Sonia. Sonia, thank you so much for your time tonight on Bent Notes. It has been lovely to catch up with you after what has been a very strange year.
Yes, indeed. Lovely to talk with you, David. Thanks for giving us some airtime and supporting Melbourne music as you guys always so faithfully do. Thank you.
A pleasure. My special guest on Bent Notes has been Sonia Horbelt, the chair of the Melbourne Women's International Jazz Festival. You're listening to Bent Notes on Joy 94.9.
You've been listening to a podcast from Bent Notes. Join us live each Sunday night on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.